Lord, bless our Advent service this evening. Bless us to understand and appreciate your coming into this world at the first Christmas. As we have a time to study that a little bit more this evening, help us to prepare, especially for the full celebration of that coming Christmas. We ask that every day in this Advent season, you would help us to grow more and more in our appreciation of your love for this world and for all of us. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Our text is all the one we already read a little bit ago, but it's a fascinating passage from 1 Timothy chapter 3, where St. Paul says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. This year for our Advent midweek services, we're focusing on a kind of a past, present, and future way of thinking of Advent. The past Advent, of course, the first Advent, the first Christmas for that matter, is what we're talking about tonight. Pastor Adel, next Wednesday, will talk about how Jesus is still present with us and still coming to us. And then in the following Wednesday, Ryan Mazur, our seminary student, will be talking about how Jesus will come again on his second Advent, a past, present, and future way of looking at Advent and thinking about Christmas. What does Paul mean when he says great, or in Greek, mega? Mega is the mystery of godliness. What do you think of when you hear that word godliness? What comes to mind when you hear somebody said that's a godly child or a godly man or a godly woman? Godliness in the Bible literally means an awesome respect accorded to God. It kind of fits in a little bit with my sermon last Sunday where I said the meaning of worship is to bow low. So also here, godliness means to just have a tremendous, awesome respect that we give to God. I know that most people probably agree that God should be treated that way and we should look at him in that manner, but it might be that some people would ask, how? How do you honor God? Where is he that we might be able to show him the awesome respect that he deserves? You see, God has, in many ways, hidden himself from this world. It began in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, and when God separated them from the garden, he put an angel with a fiery sword so that they could not go to the tree of life and they could not be in that physical presence, visible presence of God any longer. And ever since then, God has always come into this world in guarded kind of ways. God spoke to Noah. God came and spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Moses, and God manifested himself to Moses in a burning bush, and also to the entire nation of Israel in a burning pillar of cloud and fire. God reveals himself in different ways, but always in a kind of guarded way. People who want to see the glory of God now don't realize what they're asking for. This is what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness. They were so afraid of the glory of God, as Pastor Adel read a moment ago, they said, let us not hear again the voice of the Lord our God, nor let us see this great fire anymore, lest we die. As sinful people, we cannot force God to come to us on our terms. He, therefore, raised up a prophet, as Moses said, one who would come after Moses and one who would have his words in his mouth for us. And we should listen carefully to him. That prophet is Jesus. And the mystery of godliness is that God came into this world through the Virgin Mary in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. It was literally God manifested in the flesh. And he spoke to us the very words of God. When Philip the disciple said to Jesus, "Show us the Father," Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for the Father and I are one." It's important for us to realize that and recognize that, because that's the first step of our own godliness. Now we know where that respect is to be directed to Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, he did not come to Beijing, but to Bethlehem. He did not come to a magistrate, but to the Virgin Mary. He did not come to live in a mansion, but to be laid in a manger. All of this was so that he could hide most of his glory. People who want to see that glory, as I said, don't always realize how burning it is. Glory would destroy that which has been infected with sin. In the very first Advent, like all the other times that God came into the world, it was an Advent of humility in which the glory of God Almighty was hidden beneath the skin, the soft skin of a little baby boy and his swaddling clothes. Once we realize this, our whole world changes. We no longer have to grope around wondering where God is. We don't have to try to find him. We know where he is. He is, as Isaiah the prophet said, and as Joseph was told in a dream, he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And that's why it's so good for us to get ready for the celebration of Christmas by paying attention and remembering and thinking about what it means that God is with us in a hidden sort of way. Whenever you have doubts about the presence of God in your life, whenever you feel he is far, far away from you, remember that this is partly necessary for us at this time. Remember the first advent of Jesus and how far away he must have seemed to those first people that met him for the first time. Remember the reason why he veiled his glory, because of the sins of the world, and yet also because of his great desire to save us, to bring us forgiveness. We can see his glory, though. We hear it in his words. We see it in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. And so we give that great honor and respect to God as we keep listening and believing and living in Jesus. In his name, amen.